Hello and welcome to Terrapin 20, presented by Terrapin Sports Central, the show where we talk all things Maryland sports in just 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jonas Evans, alongside
Nathan Schwartz,
Brandon Schwartzberg,
and Kevin McNulty.
We got Kevin on the show for this week, and we're going to start, Nate, with
Maryland
football.
Yeah, Maryland football. A heartbreaking loss for the Terps this past Saturday against Purdue. Kevin and I were there on the sidelines. Kevin, it was just a rough third quarter. That's where we can start second half. Back and forth first half, and then three turnovers forced by the Terps defense in that third quarter. Weren't able to get any points out of it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is it was a rough third quarter for the offense and not necessarily the defense. And they've talked about that all season long, that that's a goal for them, is to force turnovers. And it took them a few games to kind of warm up to that. And then you saw it in the SMU game, which, you know, if you're looking over the course of their six games, this Purdue game was most similar to that SMU game, except Maryland didn't really convert offensively in the second half, and that's kind of what cost them in the end. And then, obviously, we have to talk about the play, the extra point, and the non-call that came up. Mike Locksley said it in the press conference, and I was surprised that he wasn't as upset with how his team played as he more so liked how they fought.
Right. It was more.
But they put themselves in a pretty difficult position there at the end in a game where they were at home, good crowd. They should have been winning that football game.
He was relatively calm, all things considered. And you're right, he was focused more on the effort and the resiliency to come back on that final drive. And they were able to put something together rather than focusing on the no call and the extra point. And then he did mention how the illegal man downfield didn't have an effect on the play. So I think in terms of overall performance, I think that was the one he was more upset about. But I mean, Brandon Jones, what do you guys think? That we'll start with the offsides no call. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, it's just a bad call. It's disappointing. It changed the whole scope of the game. I think it's interesting. Maryland fans upset with the refs. I think the big point for this game is this is not a team that Maryland should be close with, considering the way they've performed, obviously, any given Saturday. But I think Locksley should be, to a certain extent, upset with how they played. They didn't perform well defensively. I think the offense struggled. The last drive was great, but we didn't see that from this team the whole game. There were, you talk about that third quarter, it's just no consistency there. Brandon, what'd you see?
Yeah, I want to focus on the Maryland running game, because that's been a good part of their offense so far this season. Antoine Littleton, Roman Hemby, they've been rushing the ball well so far, but they just had 25 attempts for 72 yards. Not exactly what we've seen from them so far in offense, and I think that really hurt them in the third quarter, because Purdue kind of expected them to pass, and Talia just didn't have enough throughout the whole game to kind of put Maryland on top.
Yeah, I mean, he ended up throwing for 315 yards, but that's kind of a standard for him these days, and three touchdowns as well. It just wasn't timely, I would say, in that third quarter is Exhibit A. But Purdue is a really good team.
And right.
I think they have a chance to win the West, even the way they beat up Minnesota. Who knows? With Wisconsin being in the state they are, Iowa losing to Illinois. I said it to you, Nate, on the show the other night. Like, I wish Maryland would be in the West, because it would be a ton more fun.
Right.
We'd be guessing, do they have a chance to go to Indy, instead of just guessing which bowl game they'll make,
right,
assuming they win two more games here. But for Maryland, I mean, you got to pick up the pieces after this loss, right, and move on to Indiana. Luckily, it's not an Ohio State or a Penn
right.
State you're going on to face. You're going to face Indiana in Bloomington is not the same as going on the road to play in Ann Arbor or State College. So it's kind of a get-right game, and then you have Northwestern at home on the other end of it. Their schedule is being very kind to them.
It really is.
It's a bad loss to Purdue, but then you look in the schedule, those should be back-to-back wins. Then you get a bye and get healthy for Wisconsin.
And you look at both of the losses that they've had, Michigan 34-27, Purdue 31-29, they're right in the thick of things. They're competing more so than they have in any recent year that I can think of. It's a new era of Maryland football. Mike Locksley has the players believing that they can compete with anybody, and throughout the first half of the season, they have been competing with everybody. They haven't had a couple calls go their way, which is what a lot of the fan base is struggling with right now, knowing that the interception in the Michigan game that could have gone Maryland's way. But then again, fumble the opening kickoff, you go down 7-0 before you even touch the ball offensively. Yeah. That's what really cost them in that game. In the Purdue game the other day, it was that third quarter.
And I also think what cost them was Payne Durham just receiving all over them for Purdue. And it kind of seemed like it was the same play over and over again. Right in the middle of the field every time, that was killing them. That was what was killing their third downs. They couldn't get off the field because of that tight end play from Purdue. But Nate, this is what we were talking about before. This is the Big Ten. There is no guaranteed win any week. Anything else for football, Brandon?
Yeah, just bang. Going back to what Nate said about the losses, Michigan 7 points, Purdue 2 points. Last year, all six of their losses were by 17 or more points. So this is a very different team than last year. They're more resilient. They're more tough. And I want to give some love to Jason Barham, one Big Ten co-freshman of the week. Played outstanding against Purdue. He had 5 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. So he really was key in that third quarter.
I mean, he's one of those guys that was, you know, hyped up when he came out of high school for good reason. Big-time recruit. And Darrell Chami was another guy with 2 sacks the other day. I mean, the defense, all things considered, played pretty well. Those last two drives, you can point fingers and nitpick what they did wrong, but I think they did their job on Saturday, and the offense didn't deliver at the right times. We'll see what Maryland can take out of this, but keeping it close again is a big step forward for the program, even if they don't like the outcome of this past game. These games are a lot more exciting, too, and mm-hmm. I expect them to be in pretty much every game the rest of the year. Right. You know, of course, the Buckeyes are coming to town. Who knows?
Ohio State could go anyway. Yeah. Nate, it kind of feels flipped right now because one of the teams that did win this week was volleyball.
Yeah, just a completely much-needed win for Maryland volleyball. 5 consecutive losses to open up the Big Ten slate. Then they go to Piscataway in desperate need of a win. If they don't win, they go to 500 on the year after a strong non-conference slate. And then they sweep Rutgers in 3 sets. Something that was really needed for Adam Hughes and this team.
Yeah, first Big Ten win of the season, and who was leading it for them again? It's Sam Sire. She's been doing it all year. She does it again. She had 12 kills and a block. This is a get-right win for them. I mean, Adam Hughes needed this as a coach. They needed this as a team. I think there's a lot of players on this team that kind of needed to prove themselves. It's good for them to have a win under their belt. But to do it like this is kind of surprising because we haven't seen 3 consistent sets from this team all year. They haven't been able to do it, especially against Big Ten teams.
I mean, the sweep did actually surprise me. You know, Rutgers is not anywhere near even the middle of the Big Ten, but winning 3 straight sets and dominating a few of them was really, really impressive and really what they needed. I think in volleyball, and Adam Hughes has found this, even though they've struggled to start the Big Ten season, you need to have that 1-2 punch in terms of attack, and Sam Sire and Layla Ivey are just that. And Raynell Jones has been doing it for 5 years at Maryland. You know she's going to be up at the net causing problems and playing great defense for Maryland. So the talent is just a struggle when you're playing in the Big Ten, but this was certainly a game they needed, especially after the sweep at home to Illinois Friday night. They really wanted to have this one.
Yeah, and we've seen Maryland volleyball struggle to close out sets before. I know they let Michigan State and that fifth and final set on a, was it 10-0 run?
Yeah, that's right. It was 10-0
run, and so it's been that. They had a lead against Nebraska, and they lost, and so I think here, going up 25-20 in the first set, kind of calming their nerves, and then they just had dominant second and third sets, 25-12 and 25-16. They just did not let Rutgers back into this game.
Yeah, that's right, and it's been the defense for this team that's really especially carried them through these matches. They continue to be one of the best blocking teams in the country. 10 blocks on the day. They've continued their streak of out-blocking every opponent they've played this season. That's been impressive considering the Big Ten opponents they've had. Anything else on volleyball?
I just wanted to point some quick stat out. The errors for Maryland, they had 12 errors compared to Rutgers' 21, and I think that was the big difference in this game compared to the other matches that they've had in the past couple weeks throughout the Big Ten Conference slate, because as Brandon, you mentioned, just the errors were killing them in that Michigan State loss. Nebraska, even though that's a top 5 team in the country, they still were able to grab a set from them. But then again, it was the errors, just constant. And it's been coming in clusters for this team. They're having trouble at the beginning of sets, and then it's always a comeback with them, right? They always have to come back. do a crazy late set run to try and make some magic happen. And sometimes it works out for them, but against Rutgers, it was just domination all across the board.
Yeah, their return game looked good. That's been one of their other struggles, is just being able to get a consistent return off serves. That's been one of their issues. Let's move on to men's soccer, Nate.
And jumped up to number 7 in the country. Not as good of a showing coming off their last game. They drew on the road against Northwestern, a team that only had one win on the year coming into the game. Maryland, it's their third draw of the season. They're still unbeaten in the conference. They were out with, were without Malcolm Johnston in this one, and he's been really their whole offense the past couple weeks. Him and Nick Richardson, that duo, really have been carrying Maryland, but Richardson gets another assist. Stefan Gepetti gets the game tying goal for Maryland in the 74th minute of this one that was able to keep them away from losing one to a team that they should not be losing to.
I mean, people would talk about moral victories in any sport as a moral victory for Northwestern, probably getting the tie at home. But I mean, yeah, thank God for that goal in the 74th minute from Stefan Gepetti, because a loss to Northwestern in the middle of the Big Ten season would not look great on their NCAA tournament resume either. But just a tie, you know, they can skate away. They end up losing that three-game winning streak they had going. The Rutgers game, which I think we should talk about a little bit more, was huge. He had the outstanding bicycle kick from Malcolm Johnston, and then you don't have him on the road at Northwestern. You mentioned that, Nate, is pretty significant, but getting it done in the rain, you know, on Tuesday afternoon, it was moved up 3:45. They're not used to playing at that time. That was a big win for Maryland.
And what a kick, too. I mean, that bicycle kick all over the internet. That's, you know, that's how much he brings to this team. I think no Malcolm Johnston, you can point to that, but I still think it's a disappointing draw for them against Northwestern. This is still a team, even without one of its best players, it's still a team very much capable of beating a team like Northwestern. But that's just the soccer season. You know, we've seen draws from both the men's and the women's team.
Yeah, and I think had they gone out with the win against Northwestern, they really would have been in control of the Big Ten standings. Now they sit just a win above Penn State, 3 points above Penn State. So if they can still ride out the rest of the season with wins or even a draw here or two, I think they're still in control of getting that top spot in the Big Ten tournament. But it will not be as easy the rest of the way because of that draw against Northwestern.
And looking ahead for men's soccer, you got Wisconsin at home, four straight at home, and then High Point and Delaware come in from outside the conference, Michigan State on October 21st. And then the big one is obviously at Indiana. Indiana always a huge competitor in the Big Ten, number 21 right now, to finish the season and get ready for postseason. And that's pretty much the way it is. It's going to get a little cooler out, and they'll have to get used to that. But, you know, four straight, you want to take advantage of that before going on the road to face the Hoosiers.
Yeah, you mentioned the postseason, Kevin. That was a place they struggled at last year. They lost in penalty kicks to, ironically, Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament. I was on the sidelines for that one, and then they lose in the first round to Long Island in the NCAA tournament. So definitely some postseason flashbacks to the draw. There was no extra time to where they could go into extra time the other day in Evanston, but nonetheless, Northwestern seems to always give them trouble. They've got this four-game home stretch coming up. They can get above 10 wins on the year and really take some momentum into that Indiana game and into the postseason.
And let's move now, Nate, to the highest-ranked team right now, which is the field hockey team, which just on a roll right now. 5-1 win against Indiana on Friday, 11-0 win against Georgetown on Tuesday. This has been an incredible run we've seen from this team so far.
And what else can you say about this team? We come onto this podcast every week and just talk about how dominating they are. Other than that Princeton loss they had, which they lost in double overtime on the road, I don't know if there's any. You can say North Carolina is better than them, but just having the front row seat to watch Maryland field hockey play, they're scoring goals like there's no tomorrow. I mean, 16 goals in your last two games. I understand you put up 11 in an out-of-conference opponent that's much less dominant in Georgetown, but nonetheless, 5-1 victory in a conference matchup, Kevin, I mean, when those you get those type of wins late in the year, that's all you can ask for from Issey Mahark's squad.
No, I don't think you can take away from 16 goals in 120 minutes of action. That is unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, at this point in the season, they are really just hitting their stride, and only one goal surrendered over that right. time. Obviously, Georgetown is no good, just came up here for a midweek game. But 11 goals and two hat tricks, B.B. Donrett and Riley Donnelly. I mean, just an unbelievable showing. And, I mean, this is a Final Four team from a year ago. I would be, frankly, surprised if they're not back in the Final Four again this season. The way they're playing, you mentioned only the loss to Princeton. In the Big Ten, they've been dominant. Some bottom feeders in the Big Ten have come out here to College Park in Indiana and Michigan State, and they've taken care of business, and they've shown that time and time again.
Yeah, you both mentioned the offense. I want to look at the defense. They've allowed just two shots in their last two games against Indiana and Georgetown. None against Georgetown. That was utter domination. This is spectacular field hockey we're seeing on both sides of the ball, and this is the best I think we've seen them in a while. I think that Princeton loss, I said it before and I'm going to say it again, that reset the team because they had a narrow 4-2 win over Ohio State a couple of days before that Princeton loss. And then since that Princeton double overtime loss, they've been rolling. I think losing in double overtime, it mentally prepares them for that Big Ten stretch, because going on the road for overtime wins against both Iowa and Northwestern, two top five teams, that was big. That kind of cemented them as the top team in the Big Ten.
Yeah, absolutely. Six-game win streak, it really did light a fire under this team. You can tell from how they're performing. Do we have anything else on field hockey?
I mean, just you can talk about the depth of this team. I mean, Sam Zivna scores, Mara Verleg scores, Donnelly, who wasn't playing at the start of the year, now has gotten a lot of minutes with Hope Rose being out due to injury. They didn't even play Emma DeBerdine or Leah Kraus on Tuesday against Georgetown, two of their top scorers, they still put up 11. There's just no weakness in this team right now. Van Rootselaar is doing it all from the midfield. Paige Kefton goal. She's not even having to do anything. She's just standing in the cage because the ball is on the other side of the field
every time,
for the entirety of the game. So it's just really, as you mentioned, Brandon, utter domination right now.
Yeah, it's not going to be like that for the whole season, but it certainly was on Tuesday. Kef could just take a seat and maybe take a sip of water for 60 minutes. She didn't need to do a darn thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move to our final game that we saw, which was Terps women's soccer, which has really, you know, we talk about that Michigan win back a little bit in the season. From then on, it's been a struggle for this team. A loss to Penn State, 2-0. What did we see from this game?
That Michigan game felt like 2 months ago at this point. And it's got to feel like that for Megan Ryan-Nemser and the team itself. Five consecutive losses now overall, all of them being in the Big Ten. The offense is just sputtered. They're non-existent. They were not scoring goals at the beginning of the year. And of course, the four straight 1-1 draws at the start. Then they get a 3-0 win. And now, what was their strength at the beginning of the year? I mentioned this last episode. The defense was their strength at the beginning of the year. That's gone way down the drain.
Yeah,
And now they're not getting any opportunities offensively. I mean, you still had 12 shots. You're still out shooting your opponents. It seems like this every game. They outshot their opponent. They can't get the ball into the back of the net.
Yeah, finishing a big thing like you mentioned, but yeah, three goals allowed against Illinois, two against Wisconsin, four against Michigan State, two against Penn State. You're right, that defense has come down a little bit. Kevin, did you have something for this?
It's been a pretty consistent problem, right? I mean, only one goal over the past four games, but like you said, Nate, they've been getting shots off. It's pretty remarkable. The only time the Big Ten they've scored more than one goal in a game is those two in a loss against Illinois. They didn't even come out on top of that one. And I said this on the show on Tuesday that, you know, Megan Ryan-Nemser came in hot. Things were looking good for a while, and I don't think this necessarily, like, sets her off her path that she wants to take as head coach. She still needs to get a lot of young talent in here, and that's her plan. But for this season, they've kind of run out of gas, and they're running out of time here as well. I mean, only four games left on the schedule, only one at home. So only one more Terp Central gamer that we're going to get from Hani Wolkoff coming up on Sunday.
Let's go, Hani.
But that's about it. I mean, this season's winding down, and you can tell that Nemser has a lot of work going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that does it for our 20 minutes. Make sure to follow Terrapin Sports Central on Twitter at Terp Central. Go to our website, terrapinsportscentral.com. This has been Jonas Evans,
Nathan Schwartz,
Brandon Schwartzberg,
and Kevin McNulty.
And make sure to tune in next week for our next 20 minutes. Thanks for listening.